First Peter and Isaiah, you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Meet some kind of appointments this August as well. So if you don't see Bob or Lisa around, it's not because they don't want to be here, but it's probably best that they just aren't here because they don't want to be mugged by a thousand questions that may be upon your minds. But anyway, we're going to do our best with what we have and who is going to be here. I mean, today it's my wife Sharon on the piano and the praise team. Whoever follows her will find out from week to week, I guess, how that is. But it's just a change that is taking place, and we just want you to be aware of that. And I know how many of you appreciate Bob, because I sure do as well. And it is what it is. So kind of what happens when we start aging, right? Well. So anyway, here's the announcements for today. I just want to let you know that there are still some decorations back in the fellowship hall from our Vacation Bible School that was held this last week. There's some pictures that Dina Struck had put together, some pictures of what went on here, a video as well that was up here before. It'll be on also following the service today. And so I just want you to know that we appreciate Danny Utz. That's her last name, U-T-Z, who did the painting of Daniel, and there's some of her work that we see in the back that is there as well. So we just thank Danny for pitching in and helping out with VBS that she normally does. And so it was a great week. I was Daniel, by the way, so I kind of brought the Daniel to life for the kids. And, you know, I learned a lot of things just playing Daniel. It's So a lot of things I forgot about him. There's more to Daniel than just a lion's den. Did you know that? There are some amazing things. When he was taken out of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was only like, what, 17, 18 years old. He was a young guy. He was a teenager. And we find that David was also a young man when he was asked by God and moved to be the new king of Israel. So, I mean, youth has something to do with God's order of things. And sometimes when you're adults like me, you probably go like, well, what can God do with that person? They're too young. Not always the case. God can use anyone, young or the aged as well. So we're glad that you're here today, and just want to remind you that Amy Johnson did a great job with our VBS, and we just had a whole ton of people stepped up and helped and doing food and decorating and crafts and things like that. I just go like, wow, this is pretty amazing. I think she put a thank you in the bulletin there as well. There it is. So there's a little bit more detail of what's given there that she's got, so we're glad that that's taken place. So I just want to remind you that tonight, but after the service today, the property committee is going to meet, and they are reminded that it's going to be a long meeting. So if you don't drink coffee, you might want to consider that today. But they're going to be meeting right after the service today, property committee, so you know who you are. And then tonight at 7:15 is the Stephen Curtis Chapman concert on the Preservation Plaza, which will always be the green space, because I can never think of Preservation Plaza. It's a lot of words, or long words. And that's taking place here tonight at 7:15. The Monday through Friday is the Okoboji Bible Conference. You can look online if you don't have a schedule as far as when things are going to take place and what they will be, but they will be online. And then also Thursday, we will have our Thursday noon to 1 Bible study on the book of James. So those of you that have been meeting or would like to start a new study, we're only going to be starting... No, we're just finishing chapter 2. It's moving around. So we're not that far into it. So if you want to come to that on Thursday, that would be just great. And so you just see, sometimes you go like, well, who are the people who were on these committees or on the church council? We just put those in the bulletin this week and give you some idea of who's serving where and what. And so these are people that if you've got questions or you want to speak to them about certain things, these are the ones you do so, because a lot of times you don't want to talk to the pastor. He doesn't know anything anyway. So I would just say, well, talk to someone who's on that committee, whoever that may be. So now you know who they are. Probably a good thing to just put a magnet on your refrigerator or someplace at home, so it just reminds you of, okay, this is something that I would like to talk to somebody about that deals with this. So we appreciate every one of these people that are on here, because Harbor of Joy is made up of a lot of people with a lot of involvement. And there's always room for more involvement as well. So with that in mind, let's just have a word of prayer together. I'll turn it back over to the praise band here once I'm done praying. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us together. We thank you for the rain, for the precip, and the thunder, and the lightning as well. But some places they probably say, we got too much. It's not the case around here. It's just been some places it's like, it's a great rain. It's just right. It comes at a good time. And if you live in Spirit Lake like we do, we just pray that there would be more, but we don't want to flood. But just some more rain would be good in that area. And so we just thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. We're mindful of those that have lost loved ones recently or even in the past year. Many have gone through their firsts, and some are still going through them. And so, Lord, we know that it's times where we just lean on you because we're just wore out, we're tired, And we just don't have any zip or oomph left. And that's okay, because you always would say, come and lean on me, and I will take care of you. And we know that you do this. So we just pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that's carrying a big burden, being tested, dealing with a lot of temptation in his or her life, we're glad that he or she is here today. And we know that you are here with us, and you're always willing to come alongside of us. You will draw near to us as you wait for us to draw near to you. And we do that by faith. And so we thank you for those that are visiting here today as well, that you would just be with them in a special way, and pray that they would come and see us again whenever that time may happen. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tim,
pretty cool.
It's not another song. I'm just going by a confession, please.
Oh, really? There's always a song after. Okay. Well, thank you for being so kind to me in doing that. Yeah, the brief order of confession. We do this always on the first Sunday of the month when we have communion together. You're invited to be a part of that. It's really not our invitation to you. It's our Savior. It's Jesus who says, come to his table. And so that's who we listen to here today. But in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open. Is your heart open today? Just ask me. How's your heart today? It says here, all hearts are open to the Lord. All desires are known. And from whom no secrets. Uh-oh. What kind of secrets you got that you wouldn't tell anybody? God knows what they are. You can't hide them. We ask the Lord to cleanse our thoughts of our hearts today. And that we look to the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love the way that he loves us. And he is worthy. We magnify his holy name today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take time as we go one-on-one with God and confess unto him. We do it the silent way here today. And if you don't find anything to confess, well, then ask the Holy Spirit to point some things out to you that you're missing. But we can also praise him for what he has done and is doing in our lives as well. Let's do that at this time. You just do it in silence. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen.
Oh,
standing because I would like the congregation to stand as well as we hear God's word this morning. Comes to us from Matthew chapter 14. Many of you have heard this many times. The feeding of the 5,000. Who has never heard of this in your life? Maybe if you're young kids, you probably haven't. But here's what it says. This is Matthew, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Send them to McDonald's." They didn't say that. "Bring them here to me," Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Heavenly Father, this is truly a miracle that took place. Even though it happened close to 2,000 years ago, Lord, we pray that a miracle can take place here today in the hearts and life of someone who's come and who's hungry to hear your word and to receive it by faith in Jesus Christ. We pray your blessing, Lord. I pray for your help in preaching your word this morning too. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Do you know that the feeding of the 5,000 is found in every one of the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about this miracle. Some give more details than others. But it's the only miracle other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself that is spoken of in all 4 of the Gospels. I find that interesting. You know, it talks about here that Jesus had heard what had happened and he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He heard something. Did my mic just go to zonkers? Or... Thanks, Jeff. Don't touch the button. Jesus heard something that really wanted him to be by himself. And we have to look at what comes ahead of this portion of Scripture to find out what that is. But before we do that, I want you to think a little bit about news that makes you want to tell somebody. What is some of the news that you hear, you go like, "I got to tell somebody, I got to text somebody, I got to call somebody right away." It could be, "Did you hear so-and-so is engaged? Did you hear that he or she lost his or her first tooth?" I got my driver's license. No way. You can't be that old already. Well, I got to tell somebody. I got my driver's license. How about becoming pregnant? We are going to have our first child or another child. There's a lot of different kinds of news that we hear that we just can't keep it inside to ourselves. We got to let somebody know about it. And then there are some news that makes you want to be by yourself. When you hear of someone who has been in an accident, or someone who's been killed in an accident, someone you know. Being told that a close friend that you have has been given the news by a doctor that they have cancer. Finding out that someone you know is getting a divorce. Do you want to find a place where you can be alone and process this news? I do. I know you're like that as well. You need to find a place that you will not be bothered. You need space. Jesus has just heard, or he found out from some of the disciples who came to tell him, that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded, which means he's also dead. And this is why Jesus is withdrawing to a place where he could just be alone, dealing with the loss of his cousin. And he didn't want to be around people. He needed to be alone to absorb the devastating news. So it says here that he goes to a lake. I like that. I like going to a lake. That's a nice place to get your mind off of everything. Just watch the waves. And he got into a boat. And I like getting into a boat as well. That's a good place. Some of you like getting into a boat. But Jesus doesn't go fishing. I don't like that. I'd rather get in the boat and go fishing. But Jesus gets into a boat to get away from people, to separate himself from the demands of the day. He's in need for peace and quiet. And he needs some space to deal with the news about John the Baptist, his cousin, and to cope with what has taken place. Maybe he cried as well. Maybe he just wanted to pray, not knowing even how to pray. Some of you have been in times like these in your life. The first point I want to make this morning is this, is be satisfied in knowing that Jesus understands what you're going through. Be satisfied that he understands what you're going through. Sometimes that's hard for him to do too, isn't it? So what does Jesus get? He wants to get away from everybody, find a solitary place. What does he get? He finds that there's a crowd of people that have seen him get into the boat and went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so they kind of march around the shoreline there to the place where he's going to take his boat to the shore. But these people, this crowd of people, is not there to console Jesus. And when he's just found out what has happened, or to support him in his grief, they came with many needs. And they expected Jesus to do something, because they brought their sick. And they expected Jesus to heal the ones that they had brought to him. So their sick came to him, and also those that were tired. tired today? Are you kind of worn out? Now's a good time to go to sleep. What is it like to be around people who are sick and tired? What's it like? Are those the kind of people you seek out? Probably not. How helpful were these people to Jesus when they came to him? Did they help him with his grief and his sorrow, his heartaches that were going on within him? Probably not. And then the disciples show up. How helpful were his disciples at this time? The disciples, they say, "Lord, it's getting late. There's all these people around you here. Let's just send them away because we're out here in the boonies. We're in a very remote place. Tell them to, go back home or go to some other village so that they can get something to eat." Because we're all tired ourselves, and it's going to be dark soon. So send them away. Now keep in mind what Jesus is dealing with here. And then he gets this thrown at him by his own disciples. And so the situation calls for satisfaction. And Jesus responds as only he can respond in a time like this. He responds by looking at the people with their needs, and he has compassion on them. He sees you this morning and has compassion for you as well. He empathized with the people, and he did heal their sick. I don't know how he could have done that in a time like that, but it seemed like he just always took other needs of people first. And he tells his disciples, now let everyone stay, and by the way, you guys, give them something to eat. There's only about 10,000 of them. I mean, who can do that? There was 5,000 men plus women and children. That's why I say 10,000. There could have been more. But there's a lot of people. You're going to just stop. Even if it was 5,000, that's plenty. But Jesus uses the present need to teach and to impact his disciples. There's a teaching moment here. As they look through it through their own eyes, through the human eyes, they say it's impossible. There's no way we can feed this many people. It's better to send them away. But when Jesus is present, amazing things happen when we trust and we believe in him. One of the disciples, it doesn't say it here in Matthew's account, but he found a young boy. Again, a young boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. He brings that little boy to Jesus and says, "Here, this guy's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we got." And Jesus says, "That's enough. It's enough to feed everybody." And he looks up to heaven and he gives thanks. And then he gives each of his disciples a basket. "Thank you. Here's your basket. Now go and feed these people." So it's kind of like he not only healed people, he not only had compassion for the crowd, but here he feeds everyone. Every one of them. And then there were leftovers. How many of you like leftovers? Raise your hand. Yeah, there are some of you. I don't. Leftovers. 12 baskets left over after this incredible time together. And Jesus kind of says, "You said it couldn't be done. But I made it happen. Whenever you look at just what you have, you'll always come up short. You'll find some excuse of saying, well, there's no way I can do this because I don't have enough. If we go by what we see, we will always say it can't be done. It's just human nature. Can't be done. But if we take what we have and we look to God in faith with thanksgiving, look out. Because we're trusting in God, because it's the only way it's going to happen is if He steps in and does what only He can do. God will do more than you could ever think or imagine. An example of this is just what happened this last week with Vacation Bible School. How many of you said it can't be done? We just got a funeral. How can we do Vacation Bible School? Following his funeral. It's hot. The church is too hot. I've never seen the air conditioners run so long and for so many days as this last week. But whoever would have thought we would have as many kids that came and helpers and adults involved in decorating and teaching and feeding so many. It was a great time, even though it played you out. You got tired, those of you that were a part of that. But when it's all said and done, wasn't it worth it? It sure was. It's always worth it. We will always have challenges as a church. Our eyes and our hearts need to be focused on Jesus Christ because He is the head of Harbor of Joy. Jesus is. Not you and not me. Jesus is the head of this church. Let Him be that. Don't try to take His place. He will work in and through each one of you. In each one of us. If we will let Him. We may think we don't have much to offer. But little is much when God is in it. I think there's an old hymn that's called that. Little is much when God is in it. So look at what He did here with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Look what happened. He fed over 5,000 with leftovers. Be satisfied. Be satisfied in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if we are here today and not satisfied, we are just the right person that You want to hear from today. Let us start by just saying, Lord, forgive me. For just being into myself and not thinking about anyone else. Now, there are times that we need our space. But more than anything, Lord, we need You to come and fill us where we overflow because of You. That's really what those around us need to see. And when they ask, like, how can you be this way? How can you be laughing at a time like this? How can you be smiling? How can you be so content? The opportunity is there for us to say, well, if it wasn't for Jesus in my life, there's no way I could do this. So, Lord, we thank you for giving to us what we do not have and cannot have until we place our faith, our trust, and our hope in you, your Son. Then we will be satisfied. It's because of Jesus and what he's able to do. May we depend on him every day, all the time. In your name we pray. Amen. Before we take communion together, let us recite the Apostles' Creed together. I invite you to stand as we recite it together. Let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Christ, and the night in which he was betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot. He was with his disciples, and he said to them at the Last Supper, "This is my body, given for you. Take and eat all of it until I come back, and you can do this together." I believe Jesus gave thanks before he gave his disciples bread. Sound familiar what you heard today? Remember, Jesus gave thanks before he broke the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? Many things came out of that. Jesus, in the same way, lifted up the cup. And after he gave thanks to his Father, he said to his disciples, "This is my blood, given for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." So it's his invitation why we come to communion. It's up to you. But it's the Lord's invitation. There's 2 stations that we have here, in case you're here and you've never had communion with us. The first station is down here. There is gluten-free. It's in a package of a wafer, if that is something that you need to take. If you do not want to have wine, just hold your hand up like this, and there is grape juice. If you want to come up here, and you'll also be served up here, and you can kneel at the railing if you want to. You can stand if you can't kneel. You can stay up here as long as you want. Just pray. Just have your time alone with God this morning as well. That's entirely up to you, but you'll be served. If you can't make it up front, but say, like, "I just can't walk," or "I can't stand," or, "Hey, just stay where you are. We'll bring it to you." At the end of communion, I'll just say, anyone here that did not get served, just raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get served. So, I'm going to ask those that are going to help serve to come. And once they get up here, we will start.
Thank you.
Anyone that needs to be served that did not make it up here? We're good. Listen to these words. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his eyes be upon you. And may you always know that he's there for you because he has compassion. He has his compassion on you.